Welcome to the InSeal Journal podcast. This is a podcast series where we discuss published articles with authors and provide a forum for the open exchange of ideas, information, and solutions. I'm your host, Staff Sergeant Brandon Cox, NCOIC of the InSeal Journal, with Chaga Zapata, managing editor. Today we discuss the article, The Revised Army Enlisted Promotion Process, by Command Sergeant Major Christopher Kahunsky and Michael Higginbottom. Before we kick things off, Sergeant Major, could you please tell us a bit about yourself?
Sure. Good morning. So, Chris Kahunsky, I'm the Sergeant Major for the Combined Arms Center Training here at Fort Leavenworth. And my background includes serving as the Sergeant Major for 213 Cavalry at Fort Bliss, and again with 14 Cavalry at Fort Riley, and most recently serving as the Brigade Command Sergeant Major for 2nd Brigade, 1st Armored Division, Strike Hard.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us. Sergeant Major, what gave you kind of the inspiration to write this article?
Well, as many of you all may know, and those that don't know, there's been a recent rapid action revision to AR-600-8-19 enlisted promotions. That specifically uses the digital job book and small unit leader tool as a program of record for unit level promotion boards.
So you talk about this revised promotion process. What can you tell me about that? What does that look like?
Sure, that's a great question. So prior to the rapid action revision, the soldiers appearing before the board had to meet certain time and grade and time and service requirements before becoming eligible, as well as acknowledgement from the chain of command before they could appear. Now, in addition to those existing requirements, soldiers have to show demonstrated proficiency in their Army warrior tasks and their individual critical tasks. So this is a relatively new but important update to the requirement.
And these are requirements that are required for any E4, E5 sergeant specialist that's going to the board to go get promotable status?
Yeah, that's correct. So any 10-level soldier that wants to appear before the 20-level board and then 20 to 30, they have to show a mastery of their skill level tasks at their existing skill level.
And then is that information, it's recorded into these new tools that we're about to talk about, but then we present those to the board attendees at their promotion board?
Well, so the best way I could put it is think about it as an additional administrative requirement before the soldier appears, where they open their digital job book and show their first line leader, hey, look, I'm complete on these tasks, and then, you know, they can continue with their promotion points worksheet, and they can continue to build their packet. It's not a hands-on test requirement in the board. It's really just one additional step prior to putting on your Class A uniform and knocking on the door and, you know, singing the Army song.
So is this primarily, though, like you said, for specialists about, you know, promotable to sergeant, and sergeants who are about to be promoted or looking to get promoted to staff sergeant? So that includes a lot of the younger guys, you know, that we're hoping to reach. How is it that this came about? Can you tell us that?
Well, Sergeant Major of the Army Weimer has said, "Hey, we want to get back to being brilliant at the basics, and this is one of the ways to do that is to say, hey, if you want to be selected for promotion and be a leader of others, you have to be brilliant at your skills. You have to know your job before you know, desire to lead and train others." So I think it nests perfectly with that. And, you know, it helps a, you know, 19-kilo 10 understand that he or she has to know how to change a road wheel on a tank before they can become a sergeant, right, in that MOS.
Yeah, great idea. Having a leader, you know, who you know is proficient in 10 little tasks and can train you on them, and then knowing that they're proficient in their job, it just adds that level of respect, I think.
Yeah, and the companion program to Digital Job Book is called Small Unit Leader Tool. And the Small Unit Leader Tool is for that young sergeant or staff sergeant who can open the program on their mobile device if they choose to, or a government computer. And what the Small Unit Leader Tool allows them to see is their soldiers' individual training records by task. So if you're a Staff Sergeant 11 Bravo and you happen to have maybe a 42 Alpha as a driver for some reason, you're able to look at those 42 alpha tasks in your small unit leader tool, and then you can train that 42 alpha, even though you're not a 42 alpha yourself.
So how easy is it, Sergeant Major, to use this new digital job book and this small unit leader tool that you're talking about?
Well, I'll tell you firsthand, it's pretty easy because I can navigate it, fairly smoothly. And there are a series of video tutorials on the digital job book site, as well as some PowerPoint slideshows that go step by step for any soldier that wants to learn how to use their digital job book, or a newly promoted sergeant. There's a tutorial on small unit leader tool for him or her on how to use it. And I think it's also important for me to say at this point in the podcast that all the training information that you can see and manage in both of those programs comes straight from DTMS. So the digital training management system is still the program of record. When a soldier opens his or her digital job book, it's just a look into the DTMS record. The small unit leader tool allows that young sergeant to input training data through that interface, and it feeds directly to DTMS, and it will appear instantly on the soldier's digital job book.
How do you think this is going to impact units and soldiers moving into the future as promotion boards are now handled in this manner?
Well, I think we're going to see a serious increase in small unit leader training. We've seen various types of sergeant's time, leader time, some sort of training window where small units get some, degree of latitude to train on tasks that, maybe they want if they've got a free 2 or 3 hour block on a Thursday. And now, instead of having to ask for guidance from company battery troop leadership, that small unit leader can pull out the small unit leader tool and look at the tasks. And if he or she selects one, you can click on the task number and it hyperlinks straight to the task conditions and standards. So they don't need to go seek out a skill level one or skill level, two soldier's manual. Everything's right there. And you don't have to log on to another web page. You don't have to look for a hard copy manual that might be in the first sergeant's office. So now I think we're going to see a much wider variety of training kind of in the back of an orderly room or out in the field or even at a range.
Can you talk to us about the perspective from the more senior ranks and like say the platoon sergeant or the first sergeant or sergeant major?
Well, it allows their subordinate leaders greater flexibility and it equips and resources them to say, hey, this week I want the focus to be on small weapons, individual weapons. It instead of getting directive tasks, it allows that young sergeant or staff sergeant, the ability to find those tasks in the list of in the ICTL or in the Army Warrior tasks. So it resources those small unit leaders to a higher degree. It allows them to access that information from a few clicks on a mouse.
That was one of the things when I read your article I think it's important that the more senior leadership know and understand what this is all about too, so that they're able to kind of to push. I mean, it's something that they need to push for their more junior leaders to kind of bring them along in the process. Correct?
It is, and I'll tell you, if I had this as a platoon sergeant, I'll tell you, my platoon would have been trained to a significantly higher degree in the wider range of tasks, right? So, I have a 19 Delta background, which is Cavalry Scout. So as a platoon sergeant, I would focus heavily on the 19 series tasks. Now, that same platoon sergeant of today can see at their fingertips the 19 series tasks and the Army Warrior tasks to say, oh yeah, let's not forget about camouflage self and equipment. Let's not forget about navigate using a compass and a map. And again, this also helps augment those, soldiers and leaders who might be geographically separated from, maybe their battle assembly weekend. They can review these things throughout the week or throughout the month. so that when they do get that battle assembly time of Saturday and Sunday, that maybe they've already read up on the task. You know, maybe that sergeant has already read up on the training resource requirements. So it's go time once they get to work.
So let's say I'm a sergeant and I've got a couple of specialists. I can go ahead and open up this app or go online and look and view their tasks, view what they haven't yet completed. I can then click on the task. I can read about it myself, learn up on it, and then train and assess them and then put that record straight in.
Right there. And I think what you'll find when you open your small unit leader tool, you'll look at your soldiers' training records and find that, you know, a majority of those tasks are already complete because your DTMS operator has already inputted them. So again, as a sergeant, you can, you know, to your point, you can input that training data without having to go through a DTMS operator's course. You don't need a separate DTMS account. You know, you can do it after your DTMS operator or administrator grants you privileges, grants you those rights, and it's not automatic. So if you're a sergeant, you know, you still have to ask through your chain of command, hey, I'd like small unit leader tool access, and then that DTMS operator or DTMS account manager will go ahead and do that.
I think this is a revolutionary tool. I mean, you're giving that, you're empowering young NCOs with a little bit of direction saying, hey, just go to this app. You can check out what they need, and then you can take the initiative and help those soldiers, right? I think that's a great idea. Some hip pocket, you know, time out in the field, you know, wherever it is.
Yeah, and the hip pocket, you know, aspect, I think that's the best kind of opportunity to use these two programs in tandem is, you know, we've all been there where, you know, it's 1400 in the afternoon and we're waiting for a platoon sergeant to get out of a platoon sergeant meeting. He's in with the first sergeant. Everybody's sitting around on their phones, right? We've all been there. And now you can be on your phone and say, hey, let's spend 20 minutes and let's look at how we're doing on Army Warrior tasks. Or, hey, I want you guys to look at these tasks because on Tuesday we're going to the range. And I want you to, right, like look ahead at them. So what a valuable resource.
I think this is important, you know, being able to pin down exactly what it is you need to do and have a tool that gets you to, that enables you to pin down that information that you need to get across to your troops. Whereas I guess before, I mean, you're just kind of flailing and just using whatever you think is best without any sort of anything guiding you. So I think that would be, that's an amazing tool and an amazing opportunity for these new leaders now that you know, that you guys didn't have in the past.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, the way that the current promotion board process works is great, right? We're just adding to the process, and we're not adding any rigor, right? Like soldiers and leaders should be training on these tasks already, and most of them are. So, you know, some people, you know, might look at this requirement and say, oh, this is, look at all the things I have to do. And some will look at these requirements and say, hey, I'm 80% done. Wow. You know, look at my training. You know, I can look at my training record and see, hey, my sergeant, right, has done all these things, has inputted all these training requirements and evaluations. So I'm almost there. I'm almost ready to go to the promotion board. So it gives a soldier a touch point with their leadership so that they know where they are in the promotion board preparation process, right? They can say, hey, I'm ready to go to the board next month. And the sergeant says, well, oh, you know, let's look at your training data. Hey, you're at 23% of what you need to have completed. You know, let's really double down this month and focus on these things so we can, you know, get you ready to go.
So I guess if you're not proactive too, you don't do what you're supposed to do, you're going to get left behind, right? You know, you won't pin on that extra stripe. You won't put on the rocker or whatever the case may be. So you have to be self-driven as well.
On both degrees, on the soldier and the leader, right? So, you know, Sergeant Kohunski, right, needs to have their soldiers' welfare and training uppermost in their mind so that if a platoon sergeant or first sergeant says, hey, let me see your training stats for your squad or your section, and it's, you know, 18%, you know, that puts some, you know, additional responsibility on that sergeant to say, hey, you got to get after training your soldiers. Look at, you know, in the past 90 days, you've done, you know, not as much training as, you know, maybe we expect of you. So it also helps kind of course correct for those sergeants, because now the ownership and the responsibility of preparing their soldiers for promotion is squarely at their feet, right? If they have a soldier who wants to go to the board and is ready to go to the board, has met the administrative requirements but hasn't met these requirements, right? It's that sergeant's job to prepare him or her to go to the board. And, you know, this gives them the ability and the tools and the resources. And it lists in the Army Warrior Task List what additional training aids are required. So again, it's a one-stop kind of application for the sergeant and the soldier.
Well, I know NCOs love lists. Gives us a good outline, you know, of what we got to do.
Sure.
Because a lot of times, you know, First Sergeant will just say, hey, go out there, train him on something. Or hey, it's hot out today. Give him a heat medical class or something. But we don't record it, you know.
You're absolutely right.
I think that this gives the soldiers a detailed path, right? These are things that we need to do, but here's another reason why we need to do them. Because if you want to get promoted one day, here's a solid list, and your NCO can help you get this done.
Yeah, and you know, that's well said, and I just want to, you know, unpack that a bit. Soldiers aren't getting credit for the training that they're undergoing. When I was a young, you know, platoon sergeant or first sergeant, and my unit would go to the range, all I was concerned about was that stack of qualification scorecards that the training NCO would input, you know, how the individual soldier qualified. But there's so many other Army warrior tasks that go hand in hand when you're at a range, but we never inputted load, unload, M4 series carbine, go, no go. You know, all we would input and all we were focused on and all we were asked to focus on was qualification, right? But there are so many other tasks that you can get credit for when you go to a range, and now you're, you know, 22% closer to being complete with that 100% requirement, because your sergeant can now input, you know, load, unload, M4 series carbine, you know, Staff Sergeant Cox, go on this date, and it goes straight to DTMS. And then the next day, Staff Sergeant Cox can open the digital job book and say, hey, look, I'm one task closer to meeting my goals.
Gives that sense of achievement too.
Yeah.
Right. And especially within your team, it helps build some of that cohesion too.
Builds competition, right? And it builds lethality, because now the soldiers are understanding, hey, they can click on load, unload M4 series carbine and see what it takes to get a go. And they can practice it, or they can read about it, right? Instead of having to log online, maybe on their own time, maybe on their own computer, and try and find these performance metrics.
Builds lethality. I like those words, Sergeant Major. Can you dig a little deeper in that? Is that the whole purpose behind this update or this program or this advancement?
Well, I think there were several, you know, kind of contributors to update this promotion regulation. But first and foremost, it was to be brilliant at the basics. It was to allow soldiers and leaders to refocus on these tasks, which, again, as a platoon sergeant, a first sergeant, I'll tell you, I didn't focus on a lot of the tasks, because I was focused on, you know, platform gunnery. I was focused on NTC. I was focused on maybe a deployment, and not getting down to the name tape level and inputting this data, or telling, you know, my subordinate leaders, hey, go train on these 11 tasks. We just didn't have that. So the biggest direct contributor to this is, you know, soldiers being trained and proficient at their current skill level before they want to be a leader of others, maybe in that same MOS or branch.
Yeah. I went ahead and I clicked on the links. I looked at some of the warrior tasks, and it shocked me, some of them, because I didn't expect some of those to be required. And two, I wanted to get a good idea for a photo for the article. But we ended up, I chose a hand grenade photo because it looked like the background was like a field setting. And then it just had like a young sergeant assessing a young specialist throw a hand grenade. And it was, you know, notional. But I thought that scene was interesting because in my, you know, experience, right, being aviation, being public affairs, I don't think I ever saw anybody assess anybody throw a hand grenade ever.
So, and that was one of those tasks. And right. I was thinking, man, like now that soldiers know this and leaders know this, it'll make the leader, it'll put onus on them to go back and re-instruct themselves to instruct their soldiers. Because if they ever have to need to use this skill, they're going to be prepared. And then it gives them a reason, a so what? Why are we learning this? So that one day you can get promoted. So I think it's all a good thing. It all mm-hmm. combines, leader to soldier.
Yeah, and again, for the older population out there listening today, the Army warrior tasks are, you know, formerly known as warrior tasks and battle drills. So if you remember that, and if you remember kind of what those basic fundamentals, shoot, move, communicate, first aid are, right, they're just called Army warrior tasks now. And I'll tell you, after looking at all the Army warrior tasks line by line, there is only one that requires external support, and that is to qualify on your individual weapon. Everything else you can do if your supply room is equipped appropriately with training aids and resources. You don't have to throw a live hand grenade. You do not have to go to a NBC chamber. You know, there are still those tasks, but you can do those at a geographically separated recruiting station. You can do those tasks if you are serving on a staff at battalion or higher. So to your point about throwing the hand grenade, you don't have to go to a hand grenade range before you get promoted.
It's interesting. I think that probably before this update to the regulation, I think probably there was a lot of holes in soldier training. And what this does, I think, is make every soldier who a more rounded individual, a better warrior, a more effective soldier, I would say.
And not just that, but it also allows the proponent the ability to care and maintain their inventory of MOS qualified soldiers across the force, because they're reviewing these ICTL tasks every 1 to 2 years. So what we're seeing is now, many more proponents are updating, they're deleting, they're adding. Because now it's essential. Now it's a requirement for promotion. So now the proponents, they're having discussions and they're saying, hey, maybe some of our tasks dated back to pre-GWAT. Maybe we haven't paid, a lot of attention on keeping those updated. But now that it's a requirement to the promotion regulation, now they're spending a little more time updating and making sure that the tasks that their soldiers need to be trained on are relevant to today.
I wonder, has there been any talks of making these like annual requirements, these separate Army warrior tasks?
So yes and no. We're still kind of working out the specific details on that. So I don't have any breaking news to share with the audience. But yeah, that is a recurring topic.
Could it be possible that some of these are once and done, you're good to go?
Or? Well, I think what we're going to see is, we might see some SQT tasks coming up soon. And I think those may have different timelines separate from other tasks. But again, we're still in the planning process on that, but that may be coming to a camp poster station near you pretty soon.
Understood. I wanted to, from your experience, right, being a senior command sergeant major, kind of get your advice on what would be the biggest takeaways for three separate pieces of this, which would be like the juniors, the people who are being assessed, they're the junior leaders, the new small unit leaders using the tools, and for the senior command. So what are some of the biggest takeaways of this for those three? We'll start with the juniors.
So I would say, in my experience, the biggest takeaway would be that now the individual soldier, having maybe fairly recently departed the training base and has arrived at his or her first duty assignment, allows them to stay current and proficient in their current skill level, because they're not going to wait until their first level of PME to get the required training. They can do it the day after they sign in to their first duty station. They can review their training requirements. Takeaway for the new sergeant is, having recently graduated from the basic leader course and now you know, ready to go train and develop his or her subordinates. Now they have a super ready, accessible, you know, resource on their government computer or their personal device. And by the way, there are tutorials on Army Training Network to show how to access this from a personal device. So that's something that we wanted to make easy to do, so it's not a hard, lengthy, cumbersome process. And then from the senior perspective, again, as a command sergeant major of a squadron, I could give reinforcing information from the commander's training guidance and say, and hey, you know, don't forget, you can use your small unit leader tool when you all are in the field, or hey, there's a individual qualification range coming up. You know, don't forget, you can enter all this training data in at the range or once you get back from the range. So it allows units that maybe don't have the luxury of their own DTMS operator, that small unit leader can now become a DTMS operator, again, without having to get a separate DTMS account.
So does that mean that the senior leaders get a chance, have an opportunity to log in to be able to see a snapshot of what everybody's doing within their command?
Of course. So as a sergeant major here at CACT, I have a small unit leader tool. I have five subordinates here of various MOSs. So even me, right, at the nominative level, I have soldiers who have to, remain proficient in these tasks. Now, none of them are 10 or 20 level, but that doesn't, remove me from the requirement of making sure that they're trained and proficient in their tasks. And I'll tell you, I've opened my digital job book of my tasks, and I'm deficient myself in a lot of these tasks because of, various reasons. But it allows me to log on as I give podcasts or LPDs, and I can stay current in my tasks, and I can, look at the task condition standards. I can look at the performance metrics, and I can still stay tied in not only with my Army Warrior tasks, but my ICTL as well.
Sergeant Major, as promotion boards are concerned, do you think it's going to be an issue for the small unit leaders to get after this training, wherever they are, to try and get some of this knocked out?
Absolutely, I do. Because right now, units are jam-packing their training schedule, their training calendar with things. So now to say, hey, we need to make sure that these soldiers are trained and proficient before they go to a promotion board, what it's going to do is it's going to cause units to look internally at how they're conducting training management and how they're accomplishing these tasks and at the small unit leader level. So let's just talk about the qualification range as an example. You may not have a qualification range scheduled for another 7 months, yet that's a requirement. That is a hard requirement in Army Warrior tasks to be complete before you can go to the board. So it's going to cause company battery troop leadership to look internal and make sure that they schedule events such as qualification ranges periodically, maybe at an increased frequency or duration. And what it's going to do is it's going to cause Sergeant Cox to say, hey, Specialist Kohunski wants to go to the board next month. We don't have a range for 7 months. Let me walk down to BCO. They've got a range coming up. Let me go interface with them and let me see what I can do to get Specialist Kohunski out on that range, because I'm concerned for his ability to go to the board, and I don't want to hold him back. Right. So again, that speaks to the flexibility and to the freedom and Sergeant Cox's responsibility to get Specialist Kohunski trained and proficient before he wants to go to the board.
So I guess the big takeaway would be for the small unit leaders to make sure that they get this training in early as they can and often, so that they maintain these standards.
Right. And it's Army Warrior tasks, which are non-MOS specific, and they're MOS-focused individual critical tasks. So you have to make sure that you're developing your well-rounded soldiers, not only in their MOS, but every soldier in the Army has to be proficient at their Army Warrior tasks as well.
So let's say I'm Sergeant Cox. I just learned about this tool. I didn't know it existed. I logged on. All of my soldiers are deficient because, we just learned about it. But we did CBURN training 3 weeks ago. can I go ahead and put that date in and say that they're good on that?
So, short answer, no. You cannot backdate training in the Smarty Leader tool. What you can do is you can have a conversation with your first line or platoon sergeant or first sergeant at whatever level and say, hey, we just did this last week. We're not going to do it again for another 6 months.
Right.
Right. And have that conversation. But no, you cannot go in and add training data that has previously happened. Now, I'm glad you brought up that you're new and you just found out about this. And let's say you have four soldiers in formation for PT, and then you open your Smarty Leader tool and you see you only have three. Like, what actions do you do? What do you take? Well, guess what? There's a tutorial that talks about how to manage your soldiers in DTMS and Smarty Leader tool to get the right soldiers in there. Or you have four soldiers in formation, and a fifth one is on PCS assignment instructions or has departed and is not in your formation anymore, but is still in your Smarty Leader tool. There's a tutorial for that. So it helps you, and it comes from a very fundamental perspective on how to manage your subordinates in Smarty Leader tool.
Was there anything you wanted to add, Sergeant Major?
So if you log on to atn.army.mil, you'll see a series of tutorial videos about all sorts of things, not just digital job book. But in the middle of the screen, you'll see tabs to click on, and one of them is digital job book, and one of them is Smarty Leader tool. That's the gateway that you go through to get to these two resources we talked about. So if you go on Google and type digital job book, you're probably not going to get a lot of hits. So you have to go to atn.army.mil first and then click on digital job book. And that's where, because it's tied to your CAC, that's where your data will pop up, right? So that's important to know where to find it, right? And the hyperlink and those instructions are included in the article. So, you know, it also talks about the tutorials. There's tutorials on there. So if you've listened to this podcast and you want to share this with your peers, with your seniors, with your subordinates, you all can listen to the podcast, and or you can go view a video tutorial. And it's a video tutorial. It's 9 minutes long. It's very easy. You know, we made that tutorial here by eliciting feedback from real soldiers. We revamped it a few times to make it easier, as well as the PowerPoint slideshow. So there's lots of resources there that you can turn into a sergeant's time, an LPD, a discussion, maybe at a first sergeant meeting, or meetings at, you know, training resource requirements, et cetera. But ATN would be a good, you know, kind of foundational keystone, so that everybody knows what's on there, how to get to it, and then just continue to inform and continue to work on your skills.
Remember to put your knowledge to the page. Submit articles and get published with the NCO Journal. Don't forget to check our webpage and follow us on social media. We'll catch you next time on the NCO Journal podcast.